to lay the groundwork. Okay, we call it groundwork. It's the before we even put the first brick in the ground in regards to pursuing the vision that we believe God has for Grace Church. We started laying the groundwork to be able to put ourselves in the place for God's vision for Grace to become a reality. And as we are, when we consider vision, we're seeking a clear mental picture of what could be, fueled by the conviction of what should be. So when we understand, okay, in the context of Grace Church, we really are seeking a clear mental picture. Our leadership, we're working very hard right now on seeking a clear mental picture of what could be, fueled by the conviction of what should be. But before we can even think of taking that first step, we have to prepare the way for what should be and what will be. Last week we looked at 2 Peter, and for those that couldn't make it last week, I just want to take a moment and just refresh our memory and how important this is. We looked at 2 Peter chapter 1, and we realized that God has a vision of what we should be, and we who follow Jesus are a product of that vision. So we started, every vision starts with God. And we are a product of that vision. God created us to have a personal relationship with Him. That's how He created us. And then man chose to do his own thing, and then it ruined that relationship. It separated us from God because of sin. But in spite of that sin, He gave us Jesus. That was part of His vision for us. That vision was that we have a personal relationship with Him. And He gives us Jesus, and Jesus came to this earth, and He died for us, and He died by taking our sins, and by taking our sins, the price for our sin was paid in Jesus through the cross, and then we are then redeemed back to God. And being redeemed back to God allows us the opportunity to be able to grow, to be more like Jesus. And it says in 2 Peter 1 that He gives us everything we need for life and godliness. That He didn't redeem us and then just let us go to do our own thing. He redeemed us as part of His vision to grow. God redeemed us to grow. God's vision of what we should be becomes a reality through Jesus. And it's going to take effort. It's going to take effort on our part to take personal responsibility for our spiritual growth by trusting God to give us and to grow us to have the same virtues that Jesus has. If we're going to grow, we need to take personal responsibility. Don't put that on your pastor. Don't put that on the teacher that is going to teach you at 9 o'clock or teach you in a life group. Don't put that on them. We're here as tools to help guide. It is each of our responsibility to grow, and we do whatever it takes to grow because we are redeemed to grow. And then we talked about focus and how easy it is to get distracted in this world. But what we are as part of God's vision for us is that we are to be focused. We are to have an obsession for Jesus. I've said this in conversation with many people. You know, we try and do church so that it grows. We try and do relationships so that it grows. We try and do all these things. But listen, if we just love Jesus with all of our heart, I believe everything else falls into place. I really do. We are redeemed as part of God's vision that we love Him with an obsession. And we got to grow towards that, right? Why? Because we're distracted. There are other things that become our obsession, which will stunt our growth. So my question to you this morning is this. This challenge came 7 days ago. I want you to ask yourself, are you the same today that you were 7 days ago? Did you grow this week at all? Were your behaviors the same? Your choices? Your attitude? Did your attitude change at all to resemble more of Jesus? Your pursuits? Your words? any growth. See, because if we are not in the process of growth, 2 Peter says this, that we will remain idle, and because we are idle, motionless, we will be barren. We will be barren. We will be irrelevant for Jesus. We will be a wasteland of selfishness. See, those are the implications of not pursuing a growing relationship with Jesus. Are we growing? Because here's why. If we are not growing, this church will not grow. And I believe with all of my heart, that the church should be in a constant state of growth. And if it is not growing, it is dying. It's going to take teamwork. It's going to take teamwork to see this church grow. It's going to take teamwork to see the vision God has for Grace Church to come to a reality where every one of us makes a valuable contribution to making what should be a reality. And so I'm going to ask a second question this morning. What am I going to do to help Grace Church become what it should be? That's personal. Remember, our whole approach to these messages last week, this week, and next week are, it's very personal. These are personal questions. What am I going to do? Not what am I willing to do, not what do I desire to do. What am I going to do to help Grace Church become what it should be? And so we're going to go to prayer because we're going to try. I'm going to try and help you answer that question. So right now go to prayer because see, what we say from here on out, if you are not in the right heart heart state or state of mind, that then these words are just going to go in one ear and out the other, and we don't want that. So let's just pray, take a moment, and just tell God you're willing to listen. You're willing to take responsibility for your truth that is shared. And so, God, you know my heart, you know every heart here. You know, we think we can play games and nobody will know, but you know. So, God, I just pray that we will be real with you this morning. First, Lord, I pray that we're all growing. Lord, we know that growth comes in steps, and big steps, small steps. But I pray that we will be in a constant state of growth. Lord, I just pray that you will do that work through your Spirit in each one of our lives. And as you grow each one of us, I pray that you will continue to nurture this community of people who love you, who want to make a difference for you. But I pray that you will take this community and use us to have a greater reach for Jesus. God, I pray that we will never, ever be content, but we will obsess over Jesus and sharing him. So Lord, stir us this morning. Wake us up to the vision you have for us. And Lord, I'm going to continue to pray for wisdom for our leadership. We're still working through the details and the strategies and the logistics of what we believe you want to do here at Grace. And Lord, that's coming down the road. But right now, we need your wisdom to grow this, to lay the groundwork so that what you choose to build on this ground will be something that will just change our world. We're asking you to do this starting with every single one of us personally. And I know you're going to do this, God. I know this. I know you're already doing this. And so, God, we call upon your Spirit to just bless our time together in your Word. And we thank you for Jesus that even allows us to understand this. We're so grateful. We're so blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, as we consider this question, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to seek wisdom from God through the letter Paul wrote to the Christ followers in the church at Corinth. And Paul was trying to help the Christ followers in the church to stay focused. They had lost their focus. Okay, I encourage you to go and look at a lot of the background. I'm not really going to get into it necessarily. But I just kind of want to give you the context of why Paul was writing this letter. The Christ followers in Corinth had lost their focus of what their mission was and what the vision God had for their church. And they kind of lost a desire to be what they should be. And that is easy for churches to do. In fact, if you look at national statistics, there are a majority of churches have lost their focus and have forgotten what Jesus wants them to be. And they have become complacent and content. And they said most churches are plateaued, which means they're doing nothing, but just a tiny little percentage are actually growing. And that concerns me. That has stirred me. That has changed my perspective on how I am supposed to shepherd Grace Church. And so I pray that you will join me in trying to lay this groundwork and that we will refuse to be distracted. The church at Corinth was distracted. They were distracted by the culture. It was a very pagan culture. Okay, and so they were kind of allowing the pagan culture to kind of get into the church, and a lot of them were struggling with the past, right, coming out of that pagan worship, and they get saved, and they come into the church, and they were struggling with growing, and because they weren't growing, what were they doing? They were defaulting back to what they were before they knew Jesus. That's not hard, is it? Let's be real, right? We prayed that we would be real this morning. It's easy to fall back into what we were comfortable with before we knew Jesus. They allow these influences to come into church, and here's what actually was taking place. That false teachers, there were pretend godly men. They were not godly, but they pretended to be, and they were praying on the churches. They were coming in, not praying in, but they were manipulating people in the name of Jesus, which they weren't, and they were trying to lead the people to follow them for their own personal gain. So all of this is taking place in the church of Corinth, and I'm telling you, it was easy for the church to lose its way from becoming what they should be. They were missing the mark. Paul loved them very much. He had invested in them, and he wanted to see them grow. He wanted to see the church thrive, and so he's writing this letter to them. And he dealt with a lot of issues, okay? In 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he dealt with a lot of issues, but there's one issue that he dealt with that I want to bring forward in our situation, and that was, how are you going to invest in your faith community so that God's vision becomes reality? He was speaking into their lives, and this specifically, in the text we're going to talk about, is in the area of spiritual gifts. We're not getting into spiritual gifts, okay? I really didn't want to get into that today. But the idea here is spiritual gifts are gifts that are given when you become a follower of Jesus. God gives you a spirit-enabled ministry to contribute to the body to build the church up for his kingdom so that it has a greater reach. Okay, that's why he gives these spiritual gifts. They're beyond talent, skill, and ability. They're beyond that. These are spiritual gifts given by God for God's purpose and for God's glory. Okay, so understand the context of that. Well, what was happening was that people were coming in, they were identifying and exercising their spiritual gifts, but they were doing it for themselves, not for the growth of the church. They were not lifting the church up with it. All of a sudden, the spiritual gifts had become perverted. People were doing it for themselves, for their own self-glory, for their own self-advancement. But God had created that. He had given that. He gives us spiritual gifts and talents and passions and desires, all designed to take this faith community and to make it what it should be. Consequently, the church at Corinth had missed the mark, and they were ceasing to grow. And it says that he was talking about this. It says that they were divided as the church. The church was not unified. The church was falling apart, and the church was divided. And he was writing to stop the divisions. Guys, listen, this morning, if you're in athletics, you hear this all the time, and do not respond with, well, there is me, okay? There is no I in team. There is no I in team. And some people will go like, well, T-E-A-M-M-E, there's me, right? I've heard that before. Okay, there is no I in team. If we're going to become what God desires that we should be, it will take every one of us making a contribution to the team's effort so that the should be becomes a reality. Listen, that log weighed hundreds of pounds. I want you to know that is a freshly cut tree from my yard, and it was very, very, very heavy. Micah really could not handle that by himself. There was no one person in that line that could have handled that log by themselves. Can you drag it? Maybe, but at a price. Hundreds of pounds, and there was no way it was going to happen by Micah, so Micah asked for help. He needed someone else to make a contribution to the effort of getting that log to a place where it should be. You with me? It should not be here. If this log was here, I would get in trouble by the ladies that clean our church. I get in enough trouble with them, but to have that still here next week, I'm going to get a note, right? So JB steps up to help, and Micah was very, very grateful that JB was willing to step up and help. Even though it's better, it's still not enough. Because you know what? They can probably get the thing part of the way, but they're going to hurt. They're going to get hurt. But when there's a team effort, right? David comes in, he helps out. Now I believe they could have lifted it, but I think that what would have happened is eventually they would have ran out of gas somewhere back here, maybe on the stairs back here, and they would be exhausted and possibly fall down the stairs or break a railing or bust the log through the door, right? You with me? Yeah, they probably could have done it, but it would not be enjoyable. It would not, and they would not last long. You with me? You following me where we're going with this? And then Jake steps up. Jake steps up and he says, we can do this, right? But Jake was facing the wrong direction. Yeah, Jake is strong, but what good is it if he's going in a different direction? All of a sudden they begin bickering and fighting. They didn't, because they're going in the different directions, right? They're pushing against each other rather than working with each other. And that's the Church of Corinth, right? They were division. They were arguing. They were fighting. Whatever the case may be, they were not in unison. And then Liz steps up, giving direction, having been communicated with, and she helped lead the way within her ability. She was not going to get on that log, right? Because she's pregnant. We don't want the baby coming today, right? We want to wait another month. So the idea is that everyone played their role. Everybody didn't jump to the front of the log. Everybody didn't jump to the back of the log. They all had their place, and they got it out, and they were smiling. Nobody's exhausted. Nobody got hurt. The log is in the back of my truck, right? No? Oh, no. All right. Hopefully, otherwise I'm going to need help after the service. Okay. Listen, we are a community of contributors. We need to understand what we were redeemed to be. We are a community of contributors who God has called, not just asked, but God has literally called with individual gifts, skills, talents. He has asked us to do this in unison to accomplish what should be done. He's asked every one of us to do this, to accomplish what needs to be done, but not just to accomplish it, but to accomplish it with joy, with health, where everyone is growing. Nobody's getting beat up. Nobody's getting exhausted. It's an effort by the entire faith community to be able to accomplish what we are called to accomplish in this community, in this state, in this world. I believe God has a vision for our church. I do. I believe God has a vision for Grace. And if we are going to see it become a reality rather than just an idea, we need to come together as one. Lack of adversity does not mean we are one. Yes, it's nice. It's enjoyable when there's no division and there's no bickering or whatever, right? But no, there's more than that. We need to come together as one. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 and 13 says this, for just as the body is one, okay, so there's the expectation. The body is one. This is the redemption that we all have as we come together and has many members, right? We look around at the room and there's a lot of different people. And all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit, we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. All were made to drink of one spirit. As followers of Christ, we are divinely, get this. Now, this is important because this is groundwork. Don't miss this. This is not what we do at this point. This is groundwork. As followers of Christ, we are divinely, we are supernaturally placed into this community of like-hearted and like-minded individuals who have been called to be on a mission to see God's vision become a reality. I hope that has weight with you. Okay, when you became a follower of Jesus, we signed up for this. This isn't something we do as followers of Christ. It's not a program the church creates. It's something God does in and through us. And we need to cooperate with God. We need to cooperate as growing individuals that have come together as a team to accomplish His plan. That is what we are called to do. Everything else in this life is secondary. Everything is secondary. That moment we trust Christ, God's Holy Spirit, I love this. And this is our bond. Guys, listen, this is why I believe that we were created for this. At the moment we trust Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes into our life and ministers to us. The Holy Spirit immerses us. That's where the baptism comes from. The Holy Spirit immerses us with the righteousness of Jesus. So when it talks about baptism, it's not talking about water in a tank. This is talking about the Holy Spirit immersing us with righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus. That's something we cannot do. We cannot work for it. This is all God through Jesus and the ministry of His Holy Spirit. And here's what's cool. Listen, here's what's cool. If you are following Jesus today and you have placed your trust in Him, we all have the same Spirit. Talk about a bond, right? It's not different. We're all not following after different spirits or different God, right? We are one Spirit. And I love it. We are one Spirit that is the glue that makes this community special. Oh, that's a glue we can't mess with. That's a glue we can't create or develop. That is a God supernatural glue. Here's the cool thing, guys. Listen, get this. No matter who we are, we have the same Spirit. Jew, Greek, talking about nationality. It does not, we are a diverse, one Spirit, diverse people coming together. We need more diversity in churches. We do. That's what we're redeemed to be. It says slave or free, and it's talking about status. That our status in life should never separate us, should never divide us. But we have one Spirit that brings us together. We are one team. We have one vision. We have one mission. That's a big deal. Because if we don't believe this, guess what? We're going in all kinds of directions, and it will divide us, and we will be idle, and we will be barren. Reality is that we can easily allow ourselves to be nearsighted. We talked about this last week. We can just only see what's right in front of us, and we can easily let our differences, guys, listen, we can easily let our differences blind us. We can easily let our preferences go, well, I just don't like that, so I'm not going to do it. You know, I don't like them. I'm just not going to do it. No, listen, we have one Spirit, and that one Spirit ministers in a supernatural way where we can literally look beyond our differences for the greater plan God has for us. That's how special this community is. This community is not supposed to be like any other community that we know of in this world. Spirit, one spirit. And it allows amazing, amazing ministry of unity. We can allow our differences to get in the way. And in our differences, we can allow division. And in that difference in division, we can then lose sight of our vision that God has for us and what we should be. We will be ineffective and divided, and we will become barren as a church, and we'll just either plateau or we'll begin going backwards. Or we can yield to God's Spirit, who has already done a work of unity in us. We can cooperate with what God wants to do, and we look beyond our differences, and we can together focus on one vision of having a greater reach for Jesus Christ and to take responsibility for our role in that vision. I'm challenging us in this. Let's yield to what God redeemed us to be. Let's yield to what God has redeemed us to do. Yield. It's a hard word. It's a hard word. I'll admit it. It's going to require humility. It's going to require selflessness. But we know that God gives us all we need to do it. Well, we also need to play our part. There's the personal responsibility. Verses 14 through 20, read as I go along. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Understand, the church doesn't exist for us. We exist for the church. Let's not get that backwards. We aren't redeemed to come into this community to be a taker. Even if you are a brand new follower of Jesus, the expectation is that you grow while giving. It's the old one hand up, one hand down. Someone's always helping us, and we're always helping somebody. That's exactly what the faith community God designed it to be. Where we are growing, right? We talked about that. Where we are growing, but we are also accomplishing the plan God has for us. Making a contribution together. If these guys that did this log were going to get the log out of the door, they all had to move in the same direction. It was very crucial that they move in the same direction, each taking their place on the log. Everyone plays a crucial role in where we should be going as a church, everybody. And it is necessary that the part each of us plays is in unison with the team. Guys, listen to me. It is absolutely crucial that we play our role in unison. The team isn't any one person. It's the combination of all individuals. Paul makes that very clear. No part of what takes place in accomplishing what should be here, no part is any less valuable than any other part. I want us to understand this, and it's easy to lose sight of this. It is so important to understand this from God's perspective and not ours. Right, what's our perspective? Listen, we are humans who have this This new nature, but our old nature still tempts us, that the old nature says that, hey, please, I need what I need. I need to pursue what I want. And if I do this, I want to be praised for this. And I want the glory for this. And I want to promote myself in this. I want to advance for this. And right, and so we get, this is how the world does it. This is how we used to do it. But when now that we're followers of Jesus, we're given this new mission and we're given this new opportunity. And we need to see it from God's perspective, is that this, anything that is done for the advancement of God's kingdom is valuable. What I do here is no more valuable than the person that stands at the door, shakes a hand with a smile, and says, "Welcome to grace." Listen, it's all valuable in the eyes of God. It all makes a contribution to exactly what He has called us to be. The one who is most popular is not the most valuable. The one who is most visible is not the most valuable. It's not. There are a lot of people that would never be up in front of somebody, but they are so valuable because what they contribute behind the scenes. Verse 18, that your role is valuable because God arranged for you to play that role. That there is no accident, there is no mistakes. That if He called every single one of us to play a specific role, it was because God arranged it to contribute to the whole becoming what it should be. Every one of us. Every one of us. From birth to death. Every one of us. You are valuable to the vision of God. You are valuable. This ministry will never run the risk of becoming idle and barren. I promise you that. If we are all together in unison, stepping up, playing the role that God has called us into. Okay, so this morning, if you enjoy children, you need to make a contribution to Grace Kids. There's a lot of ways to do that. You need to make a contribution to Moms of Grace. You need to make a contribution to the Christmas musical that we use as a ministry of outreach to our friends and family in our community, and we pack this place out every Christmas. Yeah, listen, there are places to be able to contribute. If you like kids, and there are some of you that don't, I'm going to encourage you not to work with our children. Okay? But for those of you who do, small way, big way, it's valuable. It's valuable. How many of you enjoy people? Like you enjoy, okay? Yeah, you need to be part of our connection ministry where we have greeters that are at the doors. We have ushers who are at the inside doors who are here to help you. And we have people at the Welcome Center out there to be able to guide people through the church if they're new. And listen, there's something that has been heavy on my heart, and I'm trying to find somebody that has a gift of making baskets, like really cool, classy baskets, you know, because we have a bunch of new families that moved into our neighborhood, and I want them to know we care about them by giving them a basket of, not fruit, right? Because nobody likes fruit, but give them like something, I don't know, like a movie night basket of popcorn and DVDs, and you with me? To be able to say, I met them all. I want you guys to have a connection with them. If you are friendly, be at our Welcome Center, and hey, listen, I want to, as our church grows, which I believe it's going to, the parking lot's going to get crowded. We need people to be able to welcome people when they drive in the driveway, help them find a parking spot rather than getting caught back by the fence on a dead end. Visitors, give them you understand what I'm saying? This is all valuable, hugely valuable, because why? You get one chance to make a first impression. And if we blow that, will we get another one? Statistics say no. You enjoy technology? We need help. Please, please, please. Okay, if you enjoy soundboards, I know Elijah, he is here every week. Thank you. Neil is up there every week. I know Dave helps too up there. And there's others that help in these minutes. But let me tell you, they need help. They have a life they want to live too, right? They can't be here every waking moment. We need help. Your contribution is valued. I need you to understand this. Mentoring, teaching, facilitating life groups, your contribution is valued. No one person can do this. No one person can grow this ministry. I don't want that responsibility because I can't do it. I'll fail you. But together we can do this. And God has redeemed us into this team, and we need to play our role. Will we play it? And then last, we need to be dependent on each other. This is a tough one. Like, because I can play my role, but don't make me trust the person next to me, because if they let me down, I'm going to get mad at them. I struggle with this, right? I work by myself a lot, and the reason why is because I trust me. And if I blow it, I'm the first one to punish me. But man, right? It's hard to depend on all the people, especially if other people let you down. But we have to, because we can't do this without each other. We have to get to the place where we depend on each other. We allow that one spirit we all serve to nurture a trust that even in failure, we can still be there for each other. Because this is huge when it comes to accomplishing what we should be. Verses 21 through 26, "For the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Or on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body." There it is again. You see it? God has arranged this. He has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, and that the members may have the same care one for another. Where if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. There should be no jealousy. There should be no division, envy, because we are all put in a place that God has for us, arranged for His good. God doesn't create this community so that everyone functions on their own. He created this community where we are all mutually dependent on each other to play the role and to trust each other to play that role and to be dependable in that role, so that we are all, get this, just like the log walking out of the auditorium, that we are all moving in one direction together. Guys, listen. If we're all moving in one direction together, can you imagine how much fun it will be to accomplish what God wants us to be? Not just accomplish it, but how much fun it will be. And the reason why these guys could take this log out is because they worked together. They depended on each other. And they made sure that nobody was going to drop the log. Everyone lifted their weight in order to contribute to the team in one direction, following leadership, to be able to accomplish what they set out to do. I believe God has plans for Grace. Listen, I can't let on anything because we're still developing it as leaders, but I really believe God has something in store for Grace that is way bigger than us. It's going to require faith. It's going to require teamwork. And it is going to require that every person is growing in their walk with Jesus. I just want to encourage you, it doesn't matter what role it is that each of us play, it is all valued. If you are new here at Grace, we will find a place for you. If you have a smile and you are new at Grace, please stand at a door. We might even know your name. We'll get to know it if you're greeting me every time I walk in the church, right? My point is, there's a place for everyone. If you are committed and you want to be on mission here at Grace, I want you to know this isn't just about leaders leading and everyone just sitting back and doing nothing. This is about leaders praying hard together, determining what God has for us. This isn't about some attractive presentation that we're going to give to you in the future. This isn't about that. This is about everybody saying, I am willing to help Grace go where God wants it to go. I'm willing. And that your contribution, big, small, challenging or easy, you understand it's valued. I greatly value the Connections Ministry, and the Connection Ministry are those that really help us with our first impressions. And we call it connection because there's a lot of way we connect people. That's why, by the way, Erica worked super, super hard on building a new website. And she's not, and I have to say this, not to embarrass her, but we actually subscribe to a ministry that helps churches build websites. And it was like a blessing from God to have that. But she worked so hard at plugging all her information to it. Use our website. That has, by statistically, that's the number one way people connect to church for the first time, is through the website. So we're serious about our website, okay? Also, greeters at the doors. We need people at the doors just to say hi with a smile, right? And I want you to know we're serious as a church. So September 8th, which is Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, we'll start our new equipping classes the week after, and that's going to be on the disciplines of a growing life. So if you want to help discipline yourself in Bible reading, prayer, and all of the disciplines of a, that's going to start the following week. But September 8th, for those that want to be a part of our greeter, our hospitality, that's welcome center, ushers, greeters, parking lot, basket people for the community, whatever the base, or any ideas you want to bring to the table, we're meeting at 9 o'clock, and we're going to do a time together to encourage, to pray together, and to cast a vision for that specific ministry. And if you are friendly, and you have a mouth where the sides go up, okay, and you are not serving, I'm going to ask you to be there. Okay? Your pastor needs you. It's a very important ministry. Life groups, we value our life groups where we come together in small groups. And Thursday, September 5th at 6:30, we're having a life group leadership development for all of our life group leaders. We expect you to be there, right? Because you care. You want to make your contribution, and we expect you to carve time out of your schedule. Rich Teal and I are going to come, and we're going to help encourage you. We're going to pray together. We're going to cast a vision for life groups. We believe that God's going to do more with life groups than we've done in the past, and we're excited about that, and we want to help. If you are interested in leading a life group and you believe you have that skill set or that talent or that gift that God has given you, we want you to be there. Okay? Your pastor needs you to help lead small groups into a direction of spiritual growth. And the list goes on. Marissa desperately needs children's workers. Trunk or treat's coming. Guys, listen, the list is endless. I encourage you. Soundboard, media up in the booth, social media. If you are really good at like putting all your business on social media, maybe we can like harness that and make it into a church social media thing so that we can help communicate with the tech-savvy people. We need help. I really don't want to stand here and beg, and I'm not going to, because I believe that you want to help contribute to what we should be. See, what happens when we are obsessed with Jesus and his mission in pursuit of what we should be? We will be focused on what we are doing to make an excellent contribution to the vision God has for us, that we will be focused. And when we are focused on that, guys, we're not going to have time to be divided. We're not going to have time to expend energy on criticizing people. We're not going to have time to look at each other and look cross-eyed because you don't like it. We're not going to have time for that. We're going to be so focused on the mission that God has us on. And then the church, as a result, is unified, strong for Jesus, moving forward. So I ask you again this morning, what am I going to do to help Grace Church become what it should be? Because it will not happen without you. It will not happen without you. Let's pray. So God, we need you because we need wisdom now as we move forward. We really do desire to have a greater reach for your kingdom in this community, in this world. We're not sure exactly what that looks like at this point, but we know you're doing this. And I pray, God, that you will do a work in every single one of our hearts, that we will make a contribution in some way so that we will become what you have called us to be. I cannot wait to see how everyone is going to answer this question of what will I do. Help us to be patient, Lord, because we have to work things out, and then we continue to ask for your wisdom. And so, Lord, we're just going to leave with this you. And God, I'm just going to praise you and thank you now for what you're doing. We're grateful. We love you. You are so worthy of this. So worthy. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand together.